I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Good morning, 6:13. This is show number 1146. Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, at Cochran Show on Twitter. Get the top six at six quickly here in about 10 seconds. But one of the most popular WGN people ever, Roger Treemstra, will be honored on Friday, and he'll be on the show today.
Yay, Roger.
The goofball alert will be peaking at 10. And we can probably ask Roger about the weather, because he's still got his weather set, I'm sure, hooked up at home.
Oh,
I'm
right,
sure.
Right?
So,
love Roger.
Let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, Melania Trump underwent a medical procedure yesterday to treat what the White House called a benign kidney condition. She's 48 years old. She's expected to spend the rest of the week in the hospital outside Washington. No other information has been released. It's an odd situation because, as you know, if you spend any time in the hospital recently, they can't wait to get you out. And to be in all week is concerning. There's been medical speculation for the past 24 hours on what it could be, and nobody seems to be really sure. We'll check in with our own medical guy, the great Dr. Kevin Most, later on this morning. And he's consulted his folks at Northwestern and see what he has to say about it. But good luck to the First Lady. Next. Two scenes only about an hour's drive apart illustrate how different things are in the Middle East. The Israelis and the Palestinians, the Israeli military, blamed for the deaths of at least 58 Palestinians and 2,700 others wounded when protesters tried to cross and breach the border fence with Gaza. Hours later, officials held a festive opening ceremony for the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. The juxtaposition of those two pictures was striking and disturbing on a lot of levels. Israel certainly has a right to defend itself, but restraint at this time would probably be advised. In the meantime, our government says it was Hamas that led to all the killing and did some of the killing themselves. All of this remains to be seen as the time goes by. But the U.S. Embassy opened yesterday in Jerusalem. And the ultimate solution here would be a Palestinian East Jerusalem, where there could be a second U.S. embassy, and that would be the hope for peace. It's hard to imagine that happening anytime soon. Next, the U.S. Supreme Court has cleared the way for expanded sports gambling in America.
Woohoo!
Dave, what does that mean for Illinois?
Well, right
can
now.
Can we gamble right now?
Not right now. Well,
why?
Yeah, just the way you have been.
But I mean, can I go online right now and just throw money around?
Well, you probably can find a website, some offshore
bookie.com
to do it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But legalized sports betting has not, well, aside from, say, betting on horse racing, legalized sports gambling.
What if I want to bet on the Bears?
You cannot do that.
What if I want to bet on the White Sox?
You can't do that legally.
Probably wouldn't be wise at this point.
No.
What if I want to bet on the Cubs?
Again, not yet.
Well,
what
happened?
It's in the hands of our legislators.
So basically, the Supreme Court said, we're turning it over to the states. The states have to decide.
Correct.
And anytime, Andrea, you know this as well as anybody, anytime anything is in the hands of Springfield, we are just fine.
Oh, yeah.
My God. Well, we saw how well it went with all the state gaming licenses with the riverboats.
How will this benefit Mike Madigan?
Good question. You know, that is a very good question. Mm. Very legit question, I think.
Let's see what happens. Next, the Aon Center has unveiled plans for an observation deck with vehicles.
Yeah.
Which will take you out over the edge of the building where you will hang for 30 seconds.
Looks like a carnival ride, if you will. So it's kind of like how you would be in, say, the Navy Pier Ferris Wheel or the London Eye, but moving. So the arms would extend out over the side of the building.
Not necessary.
No. You're not a fan of that.
Where is it? The Stratosphere in Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
Is that where they have the roller coaster at the top or whatever, the Ferris
wheel? And it goes around the bar?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm developing acrophobia. Is that it? Acrophobia?
Heights, yeah.
Aerophobia? What is it? What is the thing you're afraid of heights?
Acrophobia.
It is acrophobia?
Acrophobia.
Yeah. Acrophobia. The more of these stories that come out.
So you don't want to do a show from there?
This arm, for people that are trying to figure out what this looks like, an arm drops down and there's a tube full of people, and the tube full of people hangs over the edge of the building for 30 seconds in a glass tube.
Wow.
What could possibly go?
Not, and by the way, I said hangs over the building. Hangs over open air.
Exactly.
Over
the ledge.
No. No.
I'm with you.
Next. National Weather Service says flood warnings continue along the Des Plaines and Fox Rivers. A barrage of thunderstorms has caused local waterways to flood. And there's more rain this morning, right?
Yeah, there's more rain coming throughout the day as well. Should be tapering by... Now, these watches, though, Steve, they go into effect until 10 o'clock. So they will likely be canceled. But we have to be careful today of flight cancellations and delays. There are already some at O'Hare and Midway.
Check your local listings. And finally... The Park District is shutting off half of outdoor drinking fountains amid lead concerns. I don't have so much lead concerns as a snotty-nosed kid who licks the fountain. That's my major concern.
I never drink from those fountains when I'm on the bike path. I just can't do it.
I can't either. But I want you to know, I don't put my hang-ups on my granddaughter. So when Abigail at the park yesterday went near the fountain, I didn't do this. No! I didn't do that at all. Because I drank out of those fountains when I was a kid. And look how well I turned out.
Pretty much.
It's a good point. She shouldn't drink out of the fountains.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand.
This is their first dance song Saturday.
Walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
Megan and Harry.
He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks.
And I think we can agree.
Going to get a big dish of beef chow.
It's romantic.
Ahoo!
Paul Coit, my friend Paul, is live in London, and he's been covering the royal wedding now for months. Isn't that right, Paul? Isn't that what you've been spending most of your time on?
I pretty much celebrating the royal wedding, yeah. I think I'm completely royal wedding out. I've been celebrating so much, and it hasn't even happened yet.
We have breaking news on the royal wedding.
Oh.
Meghan Markle's dad says he's not coming. Who's going to walk her? Are you going to walk her down the aisle? Who's going to walk her down the aisle?
Well, I don't want to say anything because I am sworn to secrecy. But yes, I will be. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this is a very big deal. It's a, you know, beyond tradition and everything else. I mean, this is the dad apparently staged some photos and then sold the photos. And he got busted for selling his photos.
For wedding, for crying out loud. I mean, everybody does that, don't they? I mean, just, you know, make a few quid on the side.
Yes,
a nice extra wedding present. I'm sure that's where the money's going to go.
No question. So when he was busted with these stage photos, Meghan Markle's half-sister said, no, it was my idea. Nonetheless, dad says he's embarrassed and he's not coming to the wedding. Meanwhile, her half-brother... A lot of halves in this family. Her half-brother is begging for an invitation and said he's sorry about an open letter he wrote a couple of months ago, which basically said, Harry, run. Run now. It's not too late. So are the locals, I saw a stat yesterday, Paul, 2/3 of Brits don't even care about the wedding. Is that, could that be true?
Well, you know what? We've had quite a few, and it's not like he's going to be the king. And so, we've had quite a few over the years. There's a lot of coverage, and we're quite excited about it, but a lot of people are not quite as excited as maybe they would be. It's not going to be as big as, you know, the other William & Kate. That was a big one.
The wedding's set to take place at 1 p.m. London time. Crowds will be there, obviously, several hours earlier at St. George's Chapel. What is famous about St. George's?
Actually, I'll tell you what it is. It's in Windsor Castle, and that's where kings and queens are buried. are there, and it's just extremely royal. It is actually the chapel for Windsor Castle, so it's the official chapel. So it's much smaller. I mean, it's still quite big, don't get me wrong. I mean, you still get plenty of people in there, but that's where, if you go in there, you can actually wander around, obviously not on that day, but that's where all the kings and queens over the years are buried inside. So it's very royal.
Commoners will not be able to buy concessions as they wait for the royal couple to be. There is a letter that was published apparently in all the British newspapers yesterday that said, it's from the Queen's Lord Lieutenants. I was in a band called Queen's Lord Lieutenants.
Lord Lieutenant. Lord Lieutenant, we say, yeah.
Yeah, to bring a picnic lunch as it will not be possible to buy food or drink on the site.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Just bring your own sandwiches, a tea and crumpets to view what's going on, but you can't get in too close. That's the thing. You know, it's not going to be like you can't get right into where the chapel is because it's inside where Windsor Castle is.
Yeah, but these are actually the invited VIPs. These aren't.
Oh, this is the invited VIPs.
These are 1,200 invited VIPs who will actually be sharing the day with the two kids, but they are not going to feed them or give them anything to drink.
Bring your own Worthers. Bring your own mints.
It's a bit of a strange one because it's like people that have worked in charities that are admired by the prince, and they are there. There's loads of them, you know, and they're invited, and they go, "Oh yes, I'm going to the wedding. What are you going to wear?" And you go, "Well, actually, you're just going to stand in the garden. You're not even going to get any food. So it's just like you're there. It's just like it's like a renter crowd. I mean, it's a nice gesture that they're going to be there, but they're not really in the whole thing. Do you know what I mean?
But they have a reception, though, right?
No.
The garden.
So no, this is the entire,
after
the 1,200 people, the entirety of their day, they'll be able to watch the royals arrive and then leave in their carriage.
Wow.
Up close.
I thought there'd be some champagne
or
something after.
That's just the extra people that have been invited. So the close ones that will be in the chapel, they'll be fine, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They get a party. Fine. Once you're inside,
if you're in there,
those 600 inside, they get the party.
Is it true?
They get a lot. You know, they get the party bag, they get the blancmange, they get the confetti, they get everything. You know, but if you're outside, you sort of look smart, standing around thinking, is this it?
So what's the weather? What's the weather supposed to be on Saturday in London?
Actually, today it's beautiful. I mean,
yeah, I didn't ask about today, Paul. What's the weather supposed to be Saturday?
Listen, I'm just moving towards that. I always start with today because I'm looking outside.
I don't need an extended London forecast. What's the weather on Saturday?
Steve, I have no idea. I'd take one day from the next. How am I going to know? I don't know what it's going to be like tomorrow. How am I going to know what it's going
to be? I've known Paul well enough to know when he's stalling.
It'll be quite pleasant.
Mary Vandeville, what was your question?
Oh, is it true that, Paul, that Fergie is not invited to the reception?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think she's not going to the 600 do, so therefore I don't think she'll be left outside. So, and she's not actually truly part of the royal family because she's no longer married to Prince Andrew,
right.
But she's
although
an
she
aunt.
Is the mother of his children.
Yes. Yeah, but she is family. Right. She's an aunt to the boys.
Right.
She's removed now.
She's an aunt once
she's
removed?
Divorced. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Paul.
Extremely removed is the phrase.
Paul, now, years ago, Paul tried to explain something that I don't understand completely. He tried to explain cricket to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I also, here's another thing I don't understand. I don't understand, like when Meghan Markle marries Harry, she's going to get a fancy title.
Yeah.
So
well,
in the
probably will, yeah.
simplest of possible terms, Paul, would you explain how the Brit royals get their fancy titles? And let me take some notes while you're
okay.
doing it.
Okay, I'll try and keep it as simple as possible.
Okay.
So the Queen is the head of state. Mm-hmm. So the Queen, her husband, although would not be the king, mm-hmm. he would become the prince. Although he was mm-hmm. Prince of Greece, mm-hmm. he's not to be officially a prince. He has to be given the title prince, but before that, he wouldn't have been anything. He's just the Duke of Edinburgh. So he's Prince Philip, and he's the Duke of Edinburgh, and the Queen is the Queen. Although, if there is a king, his wife would be the Queen. So that's how she would be the Queen consort, but she would still be called the Queen. So the Queen's mother would be called, when she was alive, she was called Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother. Although because she was still Queen and her name was Elizabeth, just like her daughter will. So that's not to confuse things. So then further down the line, you've got the princes, but they're likely to be given a fancy title as they get older. So they would be a duke. So, for example, Prince William is the Duke of Cambridge, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. Although when he becomes king, which will be further down the line, Kate will then become Queen Catherine. But at the moment, she's just a duchess. So that's how the Duke and Duchess thing goes. And they're usually in the royal family. So they're usually dukes and duchesses. Then you get lords, which is slightly lower. Now, there are hereditary lords, which means that they've been bestowed upon them by the royal family. This goes back hundreds and hundreds of years, mm-hmm. although you mm-hmm. can just get a life peerage, which means you're in the House of Lords in Parliament. There's mm-hmm. lords in the Commons, but you mm-hmm. get the lords. Mm-hmm. So the lord will only be a lord, but they won't pass it down to their son and daughter, although right. obviously it'd be a lord or a lady. So sure. the one of the lord would be the lady. And then further down, you get knights of the realm. That's usually awarded for being famous, quite frankly, or doing lovely work for charity, but usually very famous people, like famous actors, will be Sir, like sure. Sir Roger Moore, for example, is a typical example. Sir, Sir Sean Connery. Yeah. And his wife would be Lady, so he could be Sir Sean. But then his son would not be Sir Sean or Sir whatever, like Jason Connery, because let's face it, he wasn't a good enough actor to actually be bestowed a knight.
Oh, no,
so that's
person.
How that works. So then you've got all the other ones are Earl. So you've got Earl. Not like, you know, my name is Earl or the Duke of Earl. This is a proper Earl. The wife of an Earl is a Countess. So that would usually be something that was bestowed years ago, but you don't get so many Earls as you used
no.
to.
No.
Plenty of Earls lords. Are... There's plenty of ladies. There's plenty of knights. There's lots of those. And there's quite a few Count and Countesses. But that's probably about it. Does that make sense to you? Do you follow me?
I got to say, the first time you said Queen, that's where you lost me. But here's what I got. Queens, kings, lords and ladies, dukes and earls, knights and counts and countesses.
You're on the money. That's exactly how it works.
Well, there you go.
Do you have to be British, though? Could we ever have a chance of being sirs or ladies or knights or countesses?
No, you couldn't be a sir. You could get an honorary knighthood. So, Steve, you know, for all the wonderful work that you do, mm-hmm. you could be an honorary knight. So you wouldn't actually be able to call yourself Sir Steve, although... I would be quite happy to call you that, or
well,
I could
nice.
Be arrested if I called you that.
Now, here's the thing. I firmly believe this to be true based on your explanation. The reason you guys lost the war is it takes too long to keep putting these titles on people. If you had been focused, you'd still own this country.
That's exactly right, because what happened is that we were bestowing awards for taking over your country, but as we were bestowing, you were frightened back, and quite frankly, we weren't ready for you.
Yeah, well, that's all.
Watch out. Next time, we'll be ready.
We have a game we'd like to play later this week with the listeners winning big prizes, including, as far as you know, a trip to the wedding. No, we're not getting a trip to the wedding away, but we have stuff to give away with the Paul Coit Royal Wedding game we'll be playing in a couple of days.
Very nice.
As soon as I write it.
Okay.
All right, Paul, thank you for all the information.
That's what I'm here for. It's a pleasure.
And thanks for the forecast on Saturday.
It's going to be probably rainy or clear.
All right, it's going to be rainy or clear, in case you didn't hear. Back with the headlines next at 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Well, you know, I'm blessed, and I know that, to be able to sit in this chair that Wally sat in, that Bob Collins sat in, that Spike sat in. But in the middle of a world filled with what feels like way too much bad news, I love Tuesday mornings because we always get to tell good news stories of the Kid of the Week. And if you go to WGNRadio.com, you can nominate your own Kid of the Week. And every week we celebrate kids doing great things. And frankly, that's the majority of the news. You don't hear that stuff. But that's the majority of the news. The bad news is what we focus on. We've got to take some more time and focus on the good news, like we're about to right now. I'd like you to meet Romina Lopez. Romina, where do you go to school?
I go to Piper Elementary.
Yeah, and you're fifth grade?
Yes.
All right. And this nice lady over here, she's one of your teachers from the old days?
Yeah.
Going all the way back a year ago?
Yeah.
Carla, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
Carla, you're at Piper then?
Yes.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been at Piper for...
Well, you can get back
15
to
years.
15? Okay.
Something like that.
What drove you to teach? What was it, a calling? You love kids? What was it?
I do love kids. I love their passion. I love, you know, their hearts. Piper is a very special place. It's very family-oriented, and I'm lucky enough to have taught.
We're both lucky.
Kids and
you got a job you love, I got a job I love.
Exactly.
Right? We're blessed. Romina, you can tell me now because, is it Schwartz?
Yes.
Ms. Schwartz is not your teacher now. Was she a really good teacher?
No, not.
What? She wasn't a really good teacher?
No, she was.
Oh, she was a really good teacher. It was the way I phrased the question. That's what was confusing. Carla's the one that told us about you along with your mom, and it's a pleasure to meet you. And you are you're kind of an expert in civics, and when I worry about kids not understanding civics and government, I don't have to worry about you, I guess, huh?
Nope.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
I'll vote for you.
Me too.
Yeah. Now, you're how old now?
I'm 10.
Can we change that rule from 35 to 11?
Let's get on that. We'd have to go to do some big time.
I guess we could wait
lobbying.
Until 2020, so yeah. She'd be 12. But I have great faith that you at 12 could run this place a lot better than it's being run currently. So you're going to go to Springfield and meet some of the legislators?
Yes.
All right, let's back up for a second. This is all part of what group?
The OAV group.
And what does OAV stand for?
Our American Voice.
And this is a chance for young people to learn about civics, talk about civics, learn about government, talk about government. So when you go to Springfield, who are you going to be talking to?
I'm going to be talking to...
It's okay if you ask Carla. Who is it?
Who's state legislators, state senators. Last year we were able to meet the governor, which is pretty exciting for the kids.
No doubt about it. And what are you going to be talking to them about or asking them to do? Are you still figuring that out or you already know?
I'm still figuring it out.
Okay. Well, what are you worried about in life? Are you worried about anything? What would you like the world to be better at or Illinois to be better at?
I guess, I'm not sure.
How about being nicer to everybody, right?
Yeah.
Taking care of everybody.
Yeah.
Giving everybody an equal chance.
Yeah.
Write these down. These are really good ideas. Andrea, say hi to our friend.
Hi, Romita. How do you feel about voting? Are you excited that when you are becoming of age to vote, 17 and a half, you're going to vote?
Yeah.
Yeah. How come you think that's so important?
I think it's important because we should know what people should be telling us, what to do in this world. And so we should know and we should have a chance to, be able to decide who does that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, it's the great privilege of being an American. You get a chance to exercise your vote and say who's in charge, who makes the laws and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Now, OAV, is it OAV, Carla,
yes.
That raised all this money?
Correct.
OAV raised money for, check this list out, OAV raised money for hurricane relief funds. That was for the Red Cross, for Honor Flight, one of our favorite groups, for something called Secret Life for Pets. What is that? There's a bunch of pets going around in secret in disguise, or what's happening there?
No, we had a movie night to raise money for Paws Chicago.
Oh, for Paws. A great organization. We love Paws. And St. Jude's. There's probably no better organization than St. Jude's. So you've been giving back for owning the Ronald McDonald House. Been giving back an awful lot.
Yeah.
Who got you started on doing that? I know the OAV group, but had you sold Girl Scout cookies or something before that? How'd you know about charities?
I didn't know about charities that much before, but then I got a paper telling me that I could be an OAV, and I did. And the first year, I loved it because I just really loved donating to people, you know.
Didn't know how good it felt to help, probably.
Yeah.
You raised a lot of money for these different charities, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. How did you get all your friends and family members to donate?
Well, to donate, we always have these, fun events for the students so that, they could be more, wanting to donate. So, for the St. Jude's, we had Spirit Week. So, they get to do something different each day, and so they donate a dollar each day.
Very cool. And so you made it fun. And then you taught them how to taught other kids how to give, and it feels good to give.
Yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up, other than president? Because I got you locked in for president, but that's only 8 years.
I think I'd want to be a professional soccer player.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you play now?
Yeah.
What position?
Mid defense.
Wow. Okay, so you're tough.
Yeah.
You must have brothers.
I do.
How many?
Two.
Two brothers, older or younger?
Older. Oh. Both.
Well, they probably look after you a little bit. Don't they take care of you a little bit?
I guess.
Yeah. They're looking forward to beating up your boyfriend someday.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Carla, we know how much we've been knocked out by Romina based on your notes and everything we've learned about her. But are you optimistic about kids and civics and all that? Because I worry about it.
You know, I am. I think at the bottom of it, kids are good. Kids are innately good until the world gets a hold of them.
Right.
And it's...
There's a purity to kids that the rest of us can mess up
absolutely.
If we don't do the right thing.
Absolutely. It's one of the best parts of my job is protecting that innocence. And
But educate me for a second, because is Piper unique, or are most schools still teaching civics?
Piper is, part of you know, the South Berwyn School District, which all incorporates the OAV program into their schools. But civics had kind of fallen by the wayside.
Right.
And I think 5 years ago, I was presented with the opportunity to lead the OAV group at Piper by our former principal. And me being a history nerd, I kind of jumped at it.
It's a good problem to have.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it was designed for, you know, fifth grade through high school. And here I was, the fourth grade teacher, and I was like, how am I going to do this? And, you know, you kind of balance it out. And yeah, you jump in with 2 feet and you hope that, you know, these ideas and these concepts are really grasped by the kids. And they've done a fantastic job. I couldn't ask for a better group of kids.
It's such a powerful time for young people in America. And specifically, I think young women. Do you
absolutely
see that as well?
Oh, absolutely.
That too.
I like to tell my girls not to exclude the boys, but it's one of my major goals is to empower them as thinkers, as doers. It's not a bad thing for them to have a voice, and
it's a great thing.
It's not a bad thing for them to use it.
Exactly, it's a great thing. Romina, I asked about brothers. Any sisters?
No.
Okay, so it's the two boys and you.
Yes.
Yeah, and we've determined that you're the favorite and you work harder than they do.
I guess.
Don't listen to me. She's take so you down sweet. That road. Romina, it's a pleasure to meet you. I know in 2 days you're going to be in Springfield.
Yes.
Will you let us know how that trip goes?
I will.
I appreciate that. And is there anything you'd like to know from Mr. Ennett, who's sitting next to you?
He likes sports, too.
Yeah, do you have any sports questions you'd like to ask Mr. Ennett? You pretty much know all your sports.
I mean, you play soccer. Who's your favorite sports team to follow?
Real Madrid.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
How intercontinental are you?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you know about the Premier League in Europe?
A little bit.
Yeah. There's a team there called the Tottenham Hotspur. Isn't that a ridiculous name for a team?
Yes.
Yeah, I like those guys. They're in London. It's a pleasure to meet you, and you really are the future. It's not some cliche that the rest of the politicians get to talk about. So you're very impressive, and I appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you.
You had to get up even earlier than normal, huh?
Yeah.
I feel bad about that. Would you like $20?
Oh, look at you with the money. Yeah, pass it out.
Romina, you're welcome here anytime. Carla as well, and your mom. Anna, yes? Anna. She's a great kid, Anna. You're obviously a great mom. So thank you for being here, Romina.
Thank you for inviting me.
Have a great trip to Springfield.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Hi, kids. It's coming up on news time at 7 o'clock. Thanks again to Romina and her former teacher, Carla. Kid's a beautiful kid with a great smile and learning civics. Matter of fact, a texter chimed in, said, hey, Steve, tell everybody, all you 46 high schools, Elgin, Streamwood, Bartlett, Larkin, and South Elgin, all teach civics in the senior year.
Good, good.
That's great. I wish they were teaching it all the way through.
Absolutely. And that's also social studies, political science, all these classes, they all should be teaching them.
And you parents of younger kids, especially middle schoolers or elementary school kids, because that gives you a little more time. If your high schools in particular don't teach civics, ask why. Demand to know why. Mm-hmm. Civics has never been more important. Learn about the government, how it works, and how you can make a difference, and who's in charge, and who's making the rules for the rest of us. All right, 7 o'clock. Let's get to the news. And then a young broadcaster named Roger Dreamster will be joining us. I don't know if you're familiar with young Roger, but we're hoping for the best for him.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
My two favorite 88-year-olds on the planet are my Uncle Dana, just turned 88, and Roger Treemston. This is actually Roger's favorite song. James Brown. Come on. Remember when Roger used to hum this walking down the hallway?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Walk of Fame honoree this Friday.
No
You will get a chance, if you're here, to meet the great Roger Treemster. Woo. Good morning, sir.
Well, you know what? You can stop putting on the, you know, admiration. I'm flat broke.
What?
No, money. All I do now is kind of limp around. Do you realize, I think I'm the oldest guy who's ever been admitted to this thing.
Well, first off, admitted, I don't think is the accurate word. And second,
you know what? You know anybody else who's gotten 3 tickets on the air?
That's
one with my snowmobile and one with my boat.
Well, you were a multitasker. Dave, is there somebody that beats 88?
Raj, one person I think that I can think of beat you in the Walk of Fame, who's a couple years older than you, and that's the great Jack Rosenberg.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Is Jack still alive, by the way?
And yes, Jack's doing great.
Yeah, he's doing great.
That's good. Jack was a good guy.
He's a wonderful guy.
You know where they're installing my plaque?
No, where?
It's going to be east of Lakeshore Drive on that path. Because I always indicated everybody is cooler by the lake. I'm a cool old guy.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you are.
By the way, how excited were you when you heard that we had the White Sox?
Well, you know what? It just proves that, you know, old guys really know what's going on. I was probably the only White Sox fan at WGN at the time, and man, I was threatened all the time.
Right.
But you know what? They came home.
All right.
But you know what? They are really miserable. Really. But you know, that's one thing happens.
They're coming? You got to give them time.
Well, yeah, time? I don't have that much time. 20 years ago. I mean, you know, I don't want to be looking down and say, oh, they won a World Series. No, they're pretty. The only good thing about it, I happen to know the owner, Jerry Reinsdorf. Yeah. My daughter, did you know that they used to work for Jerry?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah. But anyway, but you know what? The North Side, I don't think I'd write any big reports about them at the present time, but, you know.
No. No, listen.
Did you ever think you'd see a Cubs Sox ball game where the stands weren't absolutely packed?
Yeah, how about that? How about that?
That shows how things are going.
Well, all right. Now, stand by because a few people want to take a swing at you here, starting with Andre.
Oh, I don't want to take a swing. I'm going to give you a big hug when I see you. I miss you. Can we finally go public now, Raj?
Well, you know, they got this Me Too movement, and, you know.
Oh, careful. Careful now.
Okay, Raj.
Careful now. We're on the wrong runway.
We predate that.
Let me tell you something. I was in the front, and Annie was there, and then Tracy was the producer for Spike.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
If the stuff that we did, and it was all fun. I mean,
right, but we don't want to know about any of it publicly because, you know, there are probably people still ready to file lawsuits.
But, you know, and we had a lot of fun.
Sure you did.
And I hardly know how to talk to my wife anymore because I'm afraid they're going to lock me up.
Now, let me ask you a question. Who hired you here?
Ward Call.
Is that right? Okay. And that was in what year?
1965.
What were you doing?
I think it was Ward. Anyway, he was involved with it. 1965.
Okay, by doing my math, now you're 35 at that point, so what were you doing prior to that job-wise?
Well, you know, it's kind of amazing. During most of my life at WGN until about 1988, I had two jobs. I was technical services manager for Kaiser Aluminum Chemical.
Okay.
And maybe you don't remember, I had equipment in my car and in my house. I would broadcast wherever I was because I had all the equipment with me. So I would work full time. I would work in the morning. I'd work at my job with Kaiser, and then I'd come and do the nighttime stuff. I was a little bit like Orion, sleep about 3 hours.
Right. Orion only sleeps during commercial breaks. You know that about Orion.
Yeah. Better, he used to do it during the air.
Yeah.
You did weather in the morning, and then you'd come back and do it in the afternoon too.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah. You know what I tell you? As I reflect back, it was really stealing money what I got from GM.
It just
was fun. Wally Phillips and I got along very good. Collins, I'd say about 80% of the time it was slick but stick, but the other 20, we were really kind of teed off at each other, but it all worked out.
Sure.
Spike was crazy, you know.
Spike loves you like a brother.
Well, we got along very, very good. I am amazed. I was trying to think the other day, all the different people that I had the privilege of working with, and the sad part, so many of them are in heaven, or hope not the other place, but God's raised, you know. And that's, you know. But it was a different era of radio, I think, at that time.
Well, there's no question. But here's the thing that's great about this place, Roger, and you know that. We honor the past. We celebrate the present. We try to build for the future.
Yeah.
And that's why this place has been successful for all these so many years and why we're able to bring it back. Mary Vandeveld, say hi to your friend, Roger.
Roger, how are you?
Very, very good. You know what I remember about you? Everybody thought you were a Dutch lady, but you're from Belgium, right?
I am, and you were the only one that knew that, Raj. So that,
well, we talked about it because in Holland, when people would have a problem with their brain and couldn't function, they'd send them to Belgium and make school teachers of them. So,
hey!
I'm just relating history.
Oh, Roger's back. How many times did Spike hang up on you, Raj?
It's amazing. He and I can honestly say, had a lot of fun on the weather. And you know what we really did at that time? I don't know if you guys still did. We did so many remotes. You know, Pumpkin Fest and all this.
Yeah, but hold on a second. What do you mean you don't know if we do it? Is it, would it kill you to listen once in a while? How about you listen to the show?
Well, you know what? I normally sleep till about 11:45. Once in a while, it's 12:15.
Uh-huh.
And so I really don't know what's going on in the radio world anymore.
Well, listen, that's the kind of support I appreciate. I'm going to send every tape from every show to you, and I expect a full report.
No, I don't. No, I do listen to you. And you know what? You fit in with the rest of the bunch there. That's the amazing thing, that the talent they have there, It's camaraderie. It's just a fun place to work.
It always has been. Dave Bennett, say hi to Roger.
Roger.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good. Congratulations. I think you're the first. You know, we have a lot of sports people. We have news people. We have traffic people in the Walk of Fame. Hosts. I believe you are the first meteorologist to enter the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
Well, you know the reason for it. They had to really pay me off a lot of dough to allow this to be done. I mean, I didn't do this enough. Fame doesn't mean a thing when you're in a line of jewel. It's cash. And so they finally came. That's why it took so long. I kept, you know, they were negotiating.
Well, we're not going to put that punk Tom Skilling in ahead of you. Come on, that kid. What does he know?
You know what? You know what weather has become? You ever watch Skilling?
Yeah, sure.
All he does is show pictures of things going on at different places. The weather report, he puts those maps up. There's nobody. I don't think Skilling even knows what he's talking about. You're looking mysterious enough. People really think, boy, that guy really knows what he's talking about. You know, when I was doing the weather, I had to, if I want to know the height of the clouds, I'd send an airman out with a balloon, and we see when it disappears, sure. Count to seconds, and I know the height of the clouds.
Right. That's what interns were for.
Machines, you know, you realize I was with the Strategic Air Command for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
We didn't even have computers. You know, you had, and that's how I actually got into the business. Is we did have radar. The Air Force had radar before anybody had it commercially. And so I started out at ABC with a guy who did weather by radar.
Right.
And there were very few people who could do that. So I worked at ABC with Alex Dreyer, man on the go, for a couple of years as a backup guy. And I'll tell you a story that really tells you why I got into the business. I was there a couple of years, and I'm sitting in a dental chair, and I get a call. We want you on the air tonight. What had happened, his name was Warren Culbertson, and on the way home, he got rolled. He got beat up going into his apartment.
Wow.
Move ahead a couple of years, Harry Volkman goes to WGN, and he wanted another guy to work with him. And so I auditioned and was selected. I don't think I was working with Harry about 6 months, and he's at a Dunkin' Donuts, and he gets beat up.
Wait, the key to your career is people getting mugged?
You know what? In fact, a feeder had written in this column, remember, Bob Feeder.
Sure.
He said, don't get Dreamsters your backup guy because he gets the Dutch to bombard you with tulip balls.
All right, we're going to run out of time here. We're going to see you on Friday. But before we let you go.
What do you mean you're running out of time? This station's on 24 hours a day.
Now, before we.
I'm getting paid by the minute.
Before I hang up on you, there's a listener on the phone that is desperate to say hi to you. Let me go there now. Yes, listener.
Yes, I would just like to say hello and congratulations to that old goat.
you've got to be kidding. This is a guy from Nashville?
Ladies and gentlemen, Spike Odell.
Hey, you old goat. How you doing, buddy?
I think the last time I was with you, we had a cup of coffee and I had a buy, as I recall.
Absolutely. I'm not putting my hands in my pocket. Are you kidding me? Not when you, with all the money you got down there in the south part of Chicagoland. He owns half of Chicago down there.
Spike, I don't know if I've said this on the air, but we really had a lot of fun together. I don't think we ever had an argument. It always was a good time, and our remotes were really a good time. So I appreciate the time.
Ah, look at that. Spike, he's being sweet to you.
Roger, you're being nice to me. Now I have to be nice to you, and I do agree with that.
You know why I'm doing this? I'm 88. I'm probably going to be upstairs before him, and I'll be at the gate. Guys, if they don't come with cash, they aren't getting in. I'll tell you that right now.
Roger, you know I love you. I love picking on you. And we sat out there many a times in that showcase studio, and we solved all the world's problems. That's and, of course, true. I was always right.
Well, of course, I had enough sense to let the star be a star. See, I was a worker. My whole life has been work.
Roger, congratulations, buddy. I will be proud to have your plaque next to mine.
That's what we're talking about. The South Holland Songbird, Roger the Dodger, and about 47 other nicknames.
Hey, Cochran.
Sky.
Oh, no. Hey, Cochran. You
know, yes, Spikey, yes.
Before you let us all go, I just want to hear you hang up on Roger. I just want to hear the dial tone one more time. I just want to hear...
You know, with these modern phones, we can't get a dial tone. And,
man.
But let me
you're
just...
Gonna, do, wait, you're going to hang up on Roger?
Let me just
Roger?
Do this.
Oh, no.
The best. Isn't he the best? Can you imagine?
You just hung up on him.
I put him on hold. Can you imagine if we turn the microphone on Friday? We just turn the microphone on and go to lunch.
Yeah. I'm afraid to sit next to him up there.
He's the best. What a nut.
Awesome. Oh, he's awesome.
What's coming up?
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, mama, don't play now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say, 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 hey, hey now, baby.
Steve Cochran Show, 729. Texter says, good morning. Please check out the Illinois Democracy School Network, sponsored by the McCormick Foundation. Civics is alive and well in many Illinois high schools. The General Assembly passed legislation requiring a civics government course for high school graduation. The emphasis on social studies and civics has dwindled because they're not included in the high-stakes standardized tests. Unfortunate for that, but thanks for your support of civic education on your show. From Sharon, I believe it's Smoger, a U.S. government civics teacher. Yeah, listen, that's great news. But 1 year is not enough. We need 4 years of civics, and I want it now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have to, for the hope of the future, you have to have educated folks coming out of colleges who have an understanding, and not just colleges, coming out of high school.
Right.
Getting into understanding how government works and how government doesn't work.
Yeah, it's important to teach history, absolutely, but things that are going on right now, as you just said,
right.
You know, because what's happening over in the Middle East or in China,
everybody
North
doesn't
Korea.
Have their own copy of Schoolhouse Rock.
Right. That's true.
David Curley's coming up. My friend David Curley, aviation expert in ABC News, and is going to talk about this MH370 flight and what they believe happened to it. And then after 8 o'clock, Dean's live in New York City.
Dean Richards, and Dr. Mostelby. I'm talking about this weird deal with Melania Trump. The first lady went into the hospital, had a surgery for a kidney ailment described as benign, which is good, but now is in the hospital for the rest of the week. And even in the case of excess care, not excess, but appropriately specific over-the-top care for the first lady of the United States, it seems odd she'd be in for several days. And with what we don't know about the president's health, which is obvious based on his doctors, we want to wish the first lady the best, but we'll see if Dr. Moth can shed some light on what might be going on with her. At 7:31, we'll come back and get you our headlines with Andrea next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Legalize sports gambling in Illinois? Text question of the day. If you could place one bet for any amount of money for any reason, what would your bet be? Texters 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. All right, this bizarre story that we all remember vividly. Malaysian flight MH370 on the way to Kuala Lumpur disappears. Disappears, just falls off the radar. The ensuing search for those whose lives were lost, which is everybody, and the plane itself turns up nothing. Now, here we are, what is it, 5, 6, 7 years later? And we believe, at least the country of Malaysia believes, the government there believes they have an answer. David Curley. David Curley, my old pal. And when I say old, I mean old. From
very old. Very old.
ABC News. What do we know, David?
Well, we don't. There's nothing really new in what has popped up, other than the fact that there is a search ongoing right now in the area that the Australian investigators thought was the most likelihood that the aircraft wreckage would be found, and so far that search has not found anything. It all comes down to, Steve, did this plane, did it run out of fuel? Was it under control when it was taken down in the ocean, or was it in no control? And that determines where it may be. I think the majority of those who have looked at the evidence believe that this was an intentional move to turn this aircraft around and send it down into the Indian Ocean. The real question is, how did the flight end so that we can find the wreckage and actually get those answers?
Do we have any indication, social media, notes, letters, anything that this pilot wanted to kill himself?
No, but there are a lot of theories about the captain, mostly, not the first officer. The captain's had a simulator in his apartment in which he actually ran a courses, heading right down to the southern Indian Ocean, which is what this aircraft did. So there is focus on the captain. There are some questions about his political feelings about what was going on in Malaysia at the time, which has changed dramatically in just the past couple of weeks, whether that was motivation or whether there was something going on with his family. Lots of speculation. We don't have the answers yet. Someday we're going to find this aircraft, though.
David, this was off radar. I know there were differing reports, but off radar for at least 40 minutes. I want to know how rare that is, and at what point does the control tower say, hey, we haven't had contact for this length of time? What is that length of time where they start to raise the red flag?
It depends, because we're talking about a bunch of different radars here. We're talking about military radar, and we're talking about civilian radar. But we were the first to report back when this aircraft disappeared, about 5-6 days afterwards, after the Malaysians finally shared some of the data, that the transponder, which is, the aircraft is sending out a ping, the transponder was intentionally shut off just as they were handed off from Malaysian air control to Vietnamese air control. And that's when the aircraft then turned around. And if you watch the flight, it was flying in between, kind of the border between some of the military radars, trying to evade those radars. So it was on the edge of maybe one country's radar, and the military said, oh, we don't have to worry about it. It's really not in our airspace. And the other country said the same. So it didn't raise any red flags. And there was a problem with the fact that the transponder, once it was shut off, that the Vietnamese didn't raise a flag. They started talking. The airline was asked. They were asking the airline questions, and this went on for quite some time. A lot of things have changed since then, But, I mean, there's no reason we should lose an aircraft like this with no sign of it.
Has it changed at all? Because I remember from the minute this plane disappeared, we talked about having 24/7 worldwide global tracking of planes. Are we anywhere close to that?
Well, we're closer, yes. The international body that decides how aircraft should be operated has determined an order that every 15 minutes an aircraft has to spit out a satellite ping of where it is and what's going on. It could get to 24/7, and it could get there much quicker than many expected. The problem with satellite time and the cost to the airlines, I'm hearing that there have been some breakthroughs that in the coming months and year, we may actually find out that planes could actually be tracked 24/7 anywhere in the world, which would eliminate this issue in the future. Might even be able to get a lot of the flight data and cockpit recorder data coming down as well. You know, we're getting so good with compacting these conversations we're having. I mean, the fact that you and I are talking on, I'm talking on a cell phone right now. I mean, think of that technology 20 years ago and where we're going with this other stuff. Yeah.
When we had flip phones.
Yeah. I still have one, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it looks good on you. So
it's my backup. It's in the back pocket.
Yeah. Your burner phone. So when this plane turns around, if I understand what you're saying correctly, he skirts the radar to take it to this particular area of the ocean because that's what he determined would be the place to bury it?
So it looks like he turned around and he skirted the radars around Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, and then he headed up the Straits of Malacca, which is this waterway between a couple of the islands, and then took a left turn into the Indian Ocean. And once there is no radar coverage over the Indian Ocean.
Okay.
The only reason we know what happened is that there's another system on these aircraft. It's called ACARS, for anybody who knows a lot about aviation. And it is a satellite system that spits out data about engine performance or whatever you want to monitor in the aircraft. And because that system was every hour making a handshake, you know, talking to satellite saying, hey, here I am, I'm MH370, and this is how our engines are performing. Just that little bit of data is what we've been able to figure out that where the aircraft is, because it was pinging about every hour to the satellite, and it puts it down in the southern Indian Ocean. And a lot of people think that it's a very forbidding piece of ocean in the world, and if you wanted to make a plane disappear, that's a good place to do it. And it looks like he may have been successful.
The remarkable thing is that these things don't occur in a vacuum ever. And that there's nobody that stepped forward to say that Captain Shaw was a terrorist in waiting. Captain Shaw was clinically depressed. Captain Shaw was this or that, had gambling debts, whatever the case may be. And then you fold in the worst case scenario, he had to somehow, one would assume, make sure that his co-pilot didn't interfere with his plan, whether he had to kill the co-pilot or knock him out somehow. It's all bad TV movie of the week stuff, but it still seems like there's so many unanswered questions.
There are plenty of unanswered questions. I think we know now that this was an intentional act to turn this aircraft around and head it down into the Indian Ocean. Was it the captain? Was it the first officer? Was it somebody else? We don't have that answer, but a lot of the evidence points to suspicion of the captain. Yeah, when this happened, we went through all these scenarios. Did the first officer, as they were handing off from Malaysia to Vietnam, you know, it's kind of a relaxed point of flight. Did the first officer say, I need to go to the bathroom, and the captain locked him out? There is an axe in the cockpit for the pilots to escape, to break the windshield if they need to get out of the aircraft. There are a lot of potential scenarios there. You know, what did you do then with the passengers and the crew? You can depressurize the cabin and keep a mask on, and you know, the oxygen bottles that the crew carries around last for 14-15 minutes. It's all very gruesome. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a murder and suicide at a level that is almost unthinkable.
It's a horrific story on every level, and we'd like to tell you that your plane is completely immune from this, and that we figured it all out, but we're not there yet. And the last sort of skeptical question, is there any financial advantage for the Malaysian government to come forward with a theory like this with the lawsuits that are pending?
This airline, Malaysian Airlines, is owned by the Malaysian government.
Right.
So they have a vested interest that it was not their pilot that did this.
Okay.
I mean, in their interest, it would be, oh, my gosh, that Boeing 777, you know, the crazy software fired, and everybody has a vested interest in here for an outcome that they would like to see, that they do not carry any blame for what happened to this aircraft and the passengers and crew.
It's David Curley, and I appreciate your expertise always, and you're always welcome on this show for any reason, so, call and write.
We're going to find this aircraft, Steve. I just want you to know. We're never going to find it. Think about this. When they first looked for the aircraft, they were like one sonar down below. They're using 8 right now. And if you've watched how drones have improved over the last couple of years, think about 5 years from now in underwater drones. And sure, we put 1,000 of them down there and search, times the area that we've looked so far. We're going to find it. Aviation doesn't like mysteries. This one will get solved. Yeah. Amelia Earhart maybe not, but this one is going to.
Yeah, but you make a great point, because all the time we kept hearing from people going, oh, my God, how could a plane disappear? How is that possible? You could flip this and go, how can we find it? When the Earth is 70% water and it's somewhere underwater, how can we find it? But I agree with you. The science and tech advances, and we will.
We will. Someday the mystery will be solved.
Thank you, David Curley.
My pleasure, Steve. Great talking.
David Curley, ABC News. How about that? Underwater drones.
It is.
Underwater drones. Yeah. Thousands of them just scouring the oceans and seas.
It literally is a needle in a haystack.
Yeah. And looking at some of the pictures, too, you would think that, okay, so they see these little blips. I mean, you've seen these pictures, too, Steve. The little blips of what they think was the plane. It looks like a cloud.
Yeah.
And that's what they're having to search through.
So all you have to do is, on 70% of the surface of this planet, go find one airplane.
Right.
And it could be anywhere. But they think they've got a bead on it. And for the sake of closure for the families that lost their loved ones, certainly they deserve that, even though we may never know fully why it went down. We got a bunch of people who have texted in, and some of you people are quite amusing. The others? As you probably know, Dave Ennett is in cahoots with my mom on a gambling operation. So they were both very excited yesterday with the news that Illinois could, not yet, but could now, on a Supreme Court ruling, legalize gambling in the state of Illinois. State by state, they have to do this.
We're going to make that happen.
Here's the text question, Dave. If you could place one bet on anything for any amount of money, what would it be? 224. I'm placing a giant bet on Donald Trump in the 2016 election. That'd be part of my new retroactive gaming parlor that I'm opening up.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
224. My bet. Whether Steve will end up at Restore Your Hair or not. You know the place where Urlacher and Rhino went?
Yeah.
I would place that bet against you doing it.
I'm not sure they'd have me.
Yeah.
630. I bet Mike Madigan's never coming on your show, Steve.
That's a good one.
That's a solid bet. That's a solid bet. 815.
What?
Remember, when the crickets hit, be the seventh caller, and you win the Mike Madigan game because he never shows up. 815, I'll bet the current president of the United States won't finish his four-year term.
That's an interesting bet.
I bet the odds on that are kind of low right now. Or good. A good bet? What would it be if the odds are not big money makers? Were those good odds or bad odds? I guess they're bad odds.
Bad odds.
847, if I had to make one bet, it'd be that the president will say or do something inappropriate today and tomorrow and the next day, too.
Oh, that's very good bet.
708, I bet Tiger Woods wins a major next year. Not this year, next year.
That's a good bet.
That's a decent bet.
Solid.
Keep them coming, kids. 312-981-7200. One bet on anything for any amount of money. 312-981-7200.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
812, live from a cab in New York City. If you ever spent time in a cab in New York City, it's the best place to do your broadcasting.
What?
I worked in New York for a while, and I did the entire show from a cab. I never got out.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was just one trip, I'll bet, too, because it takes forever to get. I wasn't even on one side of a town to the other, but.
It's just the worst. New York City is the worst. If you have a car and you're going to New York City in a car, leave your car in Schenectady and walk in.
That's probably good advice because, I've been in the cab for about 20 minutes for what should have been about a five-minute ride.
20 minutes. So I'm guessing you've gone a block?
It's been about a block. But right now in front of, if there wasn't a big truck right next to me, I would be able to see the famous New York Public Library. That's a landmark.
Well, that is exciting.
So I'm on Fifth Avenue right now.
Yeah, I'm on Michigan Avenue.
I know.
All right, now you got
Michigan Avenue.
You got to travel back, and in traveling back, I just want you to know, and I don't think you're flying American, but if you're flying American, you know, Dean, once one airline changes the rules, they all change the rules.
Right.
American Airlines announced a new rule about support animals, and I know normally you travel with your koala, your support koala.
Mm-hmm. They're very cuddly.
But American is changing the animals you can't bring on American Airlines planes as support animals, and I'm not making this up. Amphibians. Goats.
Live from the Allstate Showcase.
Hedgehogs. Insects. Non-household birds. For instance, like that buzzard that I have, I can't bring the buzzard.
No.
Animals with tusks.
With what? Tusks?
T-U-S-K-S.
Like an elephant.
and the airline will make an exception for miniature horses that they've trained as a service animal. Where are you going to put a miniature horse?
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
So basically, none of the animals that you would normally see on a plane anyway are
right,
now banned.
Right. Yeah, a goat shouldn't be on. A hedgehog is vicious. Insects, I don't even understand that. Non-household birds, again, like my buzzard, and a rhinoceros. You cannot bring a rhinoceros or an elephant on the plane, Dean. I'm sorry.
No, that shoots down the gift I was going to bring back for you when I get back. Oh,
there's nothing like that New York City I Heart Rhinoceros t-shirt.
I saw someone with a cat. Remember we were talking about this the other day? I saw someone with a cat on the plane that I was on.
Out of the carriage, just sitting in their lap.
Out of the carriage, and I thought, are you kidding me?
Not going to happen on my plane.
I don't understand how that's allowed.
All right, so what are you doing in New York?
Yeah, I see that all the time. Actually, I do fly American, so it's good
to
know that I cannot, and I thought maybe some of these rules were actually going to be helpful, but they're not because I see animals on the planes all the time, out of their cases all the time, and I've actually had to move seats several times because I'm pretty seriously allergic to cats.
Yeah.
So while it's very nice for one person, you know, it literally could be like an EpiPen situation for somebody else.
Yeah, if you're not going to, put a kid who's peanut allergic in a situation where he might be exposed to peanuts, why are you putting Dean or me next to cats? I mean, you know. And by the way, we will whine more than that kid will.
Oh, I'm preemptively whining now.
So
I'm going to call somebody. When I'm done talking to you, I'm going to call somebody and complain. And I'm not 100% sure what you're talking about.
All right. So what are you doing in New York?
Steve, just a quick update. I just saw a very small, diminutive woman give a bus the one-finger peace sign. I believe that is the traditional welcome to New York.
That's exactly symbol. What it is. That's
Wasn't
exactly
she saying New York is number one?
Maybe she could have been. Maybe she was saying that. The bus sort of cut her off a little bit, and I could see that she enjoyed that very much and was saying, top of the morning to you too, sir.
It's a true story. Many years ago, as in like 2000, maybe 99, took a bunch of listeners to New York on a shopping trip. The bus clears the Lincoln Tunnel. As you come out of the Lincoln Tunnel into Manhattan, there's a woman on the corner, probably not the same person Dean just saw, flipping the bus off. And I go, ha, 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 ha. Welcome to New York, everybody. It gets better from here. We stop, turn the corner. There's a guy peeing against a wall. It's like, welcome to New York.
These are universal. Was he writing out, welcome to New York on the sidewalk?
Yeah, he's part of the Chamber of Commerce.
Nice.
I got one.
Haven't seen any public urination stories this trip. It's been it's been a fluid-free trip so far.
I believe Dave today just said the words, I can top that. Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. What did you see?
Well, it was my wife and daughter took the subway to Lower Manhattan, and they were changing trains, and they got onto the train. All of a sudden, everybody on the train goes running off. So
not a great sign.
There was a warning signal of some sort. They get onto the train. They realize there is a dead guy on the train. And the smell was what was sending not everybody great off the train.
Murdered or just
no,
expired?
Just like had expired. Mm. But had been there for a while.
Apparently had been there for enough time that he was smelly.
Yeah, if you're gonna actually have rigor mortis kick in, maybe somebody ought to clear the train.
You would think.
It is a city of smells.
Listen, I love New York City. I love New York City. Love to visit New York City. Yeah. That's it. I lived in New York. It is too damn hard to live in New York. Yeah, it's ridiculous. You think there's too many people in Chicago?
I'm trying to sit here. Get your dead body out of the way.
All right, when are you back?
I'm coming back tomorrow. Last night was the big world premiere for Deadpool 2. Had a great conversation with Ryan Reynolds and many of the cast members. Going to sit down with Josh Brolin, among other cast members, one-on-one today.
Josh Brolin, and excessively ripped for this role.
He is excessively ripped. He is the go-to villain for most movies now. So we're going to sit
down. And it's weird, too, because he's like 5'4". He's like a tiny villain, but he plays tall in a movie.
Yeah, he's not a giant guy. I don't know exactly his height, but he's...
Measure him.
He's definitely... Okay. I'll get a tape measure out. And as you know, what I've been doing now, my new thing for 2018, I have been sniffing all the stars also.
Oh, that's right.
Just to see who is most aromatic of them all. And I got to say, you know, we were outside for the red carpet last night, and it was a little bit hot and sweaty, so I'm going to give Ryan Reynolds a pass. It was not, you know, the most ideal conditions for sniffing people last night. But we'll be in nice air-conditioned comfort today for Josh Brolin. We'll hop on a... Well, first of all, I'll stop, and I guess I have to return the rhinoceros that I bought.
Right.
Then go to LaGuardia to come back home, and then I'll see you guys and have some of these interviews for you tomorrow morning.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Be safe. You're in a dangerous, dangerous city. No, New York's not.
No.
New York's perfectly fine, but honestly, 2 days in New York... Plenty. It's like a week and a half anywhere else. It just makes you tired.
It does. It wears you out.
It's great to visit, but as you say.
And to drive in, why anyone would take a car into Manhattan?
No.
And you know my theory, and I believe I'm right about this. There's one, two guys in a truck that moves from street to street just to block you from crossing Manhattan.
Yes.
Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. That's Dean, and that's more on entertainment.
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. We're interrupting a medical conference. Dr. Kevin Morse, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Thanks for doing this. We appreciate
it.
How worried should we be about the First Lady?
Oh, not worried at all.
Oh,
not worried at all. Nope. What she had done was something that's done in many, many hospitals. We'll probably do, you know, a couple of them here today, actually. But what she had is she had an embolization of a portion or an area in her kidney. And
Wait. What's an embolization?
Exactly. So let's talk just as simple. What's an embolization is essentially what that is we find an area in the body that we don't like the amount of blood that it's getting, whether it's because it's a cyst or it's a benign tumor or something. And we know that if we can stop the blood flow to that area, the cyst won't get bigger, it won't have a chance to rupture, the benign tumor will essentially shrink and fade away. So what it is that we're going to go into that area and block the blood flow so we can stop something bad from happening in the future.
Because blood allows it to, it's like an old country buffet for the body. Blood allows bad things to grow if there are bad things there.
Yeah, And the pressure, as cysts gets bigger, as we've talked in aneurysms, as they get bigger, what happens is that wall thins and the pressure of the blood flow in there will cause it to burst. So not only would it get bigger, but the wall would thin, and it just essentially decreases the complications. And when you're talking about the area of a kidney, for these people, used to be if they had that bad condition, they would go and have that kidney removed. Now we don't do that. Now we can block off that portion of the kidney, and the individual keeps the function of both their kidneys, which is great for their health.
And Dr. Most sent some notes on this subject, and I saw two words I didn't expect to see. Super glue.
Yeah. How about it?
Well, this is how they block off the blood flow?
Yeah, so there's different things that we can use to block off the blood flow. One of
duct
them
tape.
Actually is super glue. So it's just like super glue, except it's safe for use in the human body, and it fills that blood vessel and definitely stops everything. We can also use metal coils that we use in aneurysms to stop that, and actually even ethanol, pure ethanol, will stop it as well. But the super glue is probably the one that works the best because it can fill a little bit and does more than just a simple plug.
Wow. Hey, Doc, does it all depend on each person's body and your genetic makeup as to if this blood's going to flow or collect or where it collects, or can we prevent something like this?
No, yeah, it's actually interesting. It does depend on everybody, and you make an interesting point because of where the blood flows based on each individual. So although we have major arteries that go into kidneys, you know, the renal artery goes into the kidney, once it starts breaking off, then those are the areas that we're going to try to go down to just minimize that one area. But the body is so smart that it says, aha, I know you're going to do this, and they do something called collaterals, so they run other arteries around. So she had an angiogram done, I'm sure, that showed where this was and if there were any collaterals, that they also blocked off those as well.
It's an amazing thing. Now, is there a name for this condition?
Well, we don't know exactly what her condition is because it could have been due to a cyst. It could have been due to a benign tumor. It could have been due to an aneurysm. So they said it was a benign condition. So we really, there's numerous benign conditions in the kidneys. But the doctors that do this, the interventional radiologists that do this are so talented now in that they can put catheters in places we never could have, which allows us to not have to open someone up and do actual surgery on them. They go in through the groin,
it's a big
they
deal.
Go into a blood vessel. It is really cool.
You know, since we know she's going to be okay, a couple of obvious questions. Can stress or anger bring this on?
Well, stress and anger we know can increase blood pressure, and increasing blood pressure isn't good for anybody who has an aneurysm or a cyst.
There you go.
I think the thing that's unusual is if we do that here today, that individual is going to go home today. They're saying that she is going to stay in the hospital for the remainder of the week.
Yeah, what do you make of that? Just because she's first lady?
Well, whether it's because she's first lady and they're being very cautious, or because of the size and location where it was at, they're more concerned and they want to monitor this for possible bleeding or other complications from it. But that's the part that was really unusual.
Doc, are there any symptoms that lead up to this?
No, and you know that's the interesting thing too with this. You know, these are often found incidentally. So she may have had some abdominal pain, or knowing she's the first lady, they may have put her through a very extensive physical exam, which could have included a CAT scan. Some people that have high incidence of aneurysms are going to have a CAT scan of their entire abdomen, and they might find this incidentally, not looking for it, because for the most part, they're asymptomatic. Unless it ruptures and then they have some pain or they have some bleeding, for the most part, if they catch it early enough, it's caught on an incidental, often for something else, some other condition that they're having.
Is she eligible for the experimental husbandectomy? No, not now. Not now.
Not with that government insurance. I'm afraid she's not.
Yeah, probably not. Safe travels, Doc. Thanks for the education, and we're glad she's going to be okay.
Talk to you guys soon.
She is far and away the most popular Trump, Melania. You just wonder why she's in the hospital for so many days, but that's optimistic. That's good. We'll come back, get your headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Walk with the Warrior. Details in a second. First, people are texting in now about their comfort animals on airplanes. American Airlines says you can't bring a badger or a an animal with a tusk or two
or,
on an airplane.
Or an exotic bird, right? Because you were going to leave your vulture.
My buzzard and my vulture. I usually travel with my vulture, my comfort vulture.
You remember a couple weeks ago, somebody tried to board with a peacock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should have seen what my vulture would have done to that peacock. By the way, my vulture's name is in tribute to Mr. Cat. His name is Dave. Dave the Vulture.
Oh. Thank you.
But helpful texters have been chiming in now, and they have some very good questions and some answers. 815, Steve, can I still bring my comfort Wolverine on the CTA? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Super Joe's got one.
Oh, you do? Super Joe? What do you have?
He's got a Wolverine.
You always got a Wolverine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, plenty of them, actually. Yeah. A pack of them.
Text question is, if I could place one bet on anything for any amount of money, what would it be?
That's a hard one.
312-917-200 is the number. In studio now is Frank Euler. Frank, nice to see you. You're doing a great thing here, but tell people what Walk with a Warrior is.
Yeah, good to see you too, Steve. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Of course.
Yeah, Walking with a Warrior. So we're a new 501(c) charity in Chicago here. You know, our mission is really about bringing two groups of people together, so civilians and veterans, in an effort to revitalize our local communities. And that first community we're working with here is the North Lawndale community in Chicago.
Well, what I like is it feels like a combination of doing something really good for vets and a little bit of Habitat for Humanity, and you rolled it all into one. Now, you're a real estate guy.
I am a real estate guy personally. That's where my passion lies, and that's, you know, what kind of drove me over time to really dig into what affects neighborhoods in terms of what makes them successful, what makes them struggle, and that's where some of the ideas for Walking with a Warrior came when it comes to our initiatives that we're focusing in certain neighborhoods.
You know, vets come home and they hopefully are doing fine, but those who don't can hit hard, hit bottom really hard and fairly quickly. We've got some neighborhoods in this city which feel like they go through the same sort of stuff every single day. So the combination is interesting here, and Walking with a Warrior plans to renovate your first, as it's called, a downrange facility. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, essentially that just means our headquarters. That's where we're going to run our programs out of. You know, we really want that to be a centrally located, very visible facility in the neighborhood.
And you're doing it in North Lawndale.
Exactly.
This is an area that has been in need of repair for, about 50 years.
Exactly.
And vets are going to be working on this?
Yes, so vets are going to be involved, and that's crucial to our mission. You know, we're hoping to provide vets returning home with a new mission in helping with this charity and focusing their efforts here, you know, back stateside with the local communities, and be involved, be on the ground in North Lawndale, and also, you know, hopefully be living in our facility as well. So becoming part of the neighborhood is really
who's a perfect candidate for this? Any homeless vet?
I mean, honestly, anybody that is passionate about giving back, about serving their local community, we're open to working with them, to, you know, forming partnerships, to getting people involved. At this stage, we're really in need of those initial people that are passionate about the same cause as we are to get their hands dirty.
It's perfect for Mark Doyle, right?
Oh, my gosh. Rags of honor? Absolutely. In addition to, I mean, housing veterans and being built by veterans, too, I think it's really nice, Frank, that it's a mentorship program as well, so they can get schooling or job training or other skills.
Exactly. I mean, part of it is we feel these veterans have a tremendous amount of skills and a great skill set to bring back to introduce into this setting. So a lot of our youth in this neighborhood are in need of positive role models, positive mentorship, right? So that's something that these veterans can provide in that setting that we're going to create, and, you know, hopefully through these programs really create change with some of the youth.
Right, and combining communities is a big deal. We don't have to live in separate areas and separate cells.
Exactly.
And in our separate ways. So the long-term goal here for these headquarters is going to be to transition it to veterans' homes.
Exactly.
And low-income folks getting a chance to get back on their feet.
Right. I mean, we need to, you know, hopefully the plan there is to create affordable, you know, new living, safe living situations for people in the area. You know, ideally, we'd like to create jobs for people in the neighborhood as well. So The strategy there being, hey, if we can use local contractors, if we can use veterans to complete some of this work to create new places for people to live in the area, that's something we want to focus on as well. We also feel it's extremely important to be part of the community. So, you know, being in that headquarters and living there with our program participants, our staff, our, you know, one of our co-founders is actually going to live in the facility as well.
Yeah, you're walking the walk, talking
exactly.
the talk.
I mean, what better way to you know, learn what is impacting the community most and how to potentially address that. I mean, we need to listen to its residents. We need to become residents right. and, you know, walk together to help address these things.
Tonight, 5 to 8 p.m. at Studio Paris Nightclub. That's 59 West Hubbard. That's usually where I do my all-night raves.
Yeah.
And you got a couple of celebrity bartenders coming up?
We got a few celebrity bartenders. We have a local artist, songwriter, Olivia Kalman. She's going to be performing at the event.
Nice.
We're really excited about her coming. Jordan Howard has also agreed to be there. So
in his uniform.
In his uniform.
With his yeah. full pads and helmet.
Exactly.
Well, okay, maybe not. But he's going to be making drinks, as is Tony Rice.
Yes, yes.
Tony Rice. Right. What was it, 80-81?
88.
80-80 won the Heisman at Notre Dame. He was one of the greats, man. He was faster than I am. Barely. Oh, barely.
I don't know.
You know, I run the option offense here each morning.
Yes, you do.
How do people get in tonight?
So you can actually, if you want to come just at the door, we'll be selling tickets at the door. Okay. We also, if you go to our Facebook page, we have a link on there that'll take you to Eventbrite. You can buy tickets ahead of time. You know, we're really hoping to get a good crowd for this event so we can build awareness and we can find people that are interested in working with us.
And the best way to help in general, if they can't make it tonight, can you donate through the website?
So that is actually in process of getting posted still. You know, I would say just contact us through Facebook is the best way to get a hold of us.
What's your Facebook page?
It's just Walking with a Warrior. You can search it on Facebook and it'll come up.
Tonight again, 5 to 8, Studio Paris Nightclub, 59 West Harvard. It's a very creative idea, you know, combining those that are struggling in tough neighborhoods with vets who may be struggling as well and both benefit.
I appreciate it. And it's an idea we hope we can get some interest in. We're pretty confident we can make some change if we get the right people involved.
Frank, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, anytime. And again, when you get that website up and crank, you let us know. We'll plug that too.
All right, for sure. I appreciate it.
Facebook, Walking with a Warrior.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. Podcasts every day. You can get the whole show, you get pieces of the show, WGNradio.com. Tune in, wherever you get podcasts. Some texters continuing to chime in. Text and phone both, 312-981-7200, 815. I bet Joe Biden runs for president and beats Donald Trump.
That's not a bad bet.
That's possible. 815, $1 million if the Bears finish under 500. Dave, you taking that bet?
$1 million that the Bears finish under 500.
Very tough schedule. Very tough schedule.
Yeah, I think that's probably. I don't know if I bet $1 million on it though.
$100,000
seems like a lot.
I don't think you should. I don't think you should, Dave. I'm going to advise against that.
Okay.
847. I bet Michael Cohen gets indicted and also faces charges in New York, and Trump's not able to pardon him. That's a long bet.
That is.
You know,
it's a long bet.
773. I bet the sun will come up tomorrow. Okay.
That, yeah, you know what? That's a sure thing. Well, or so we think, anyway.
219, I bet the Mueller investigation goes for naught, and we've become the pinnacle of apathy and gullibility, and good luck to us. And good morning, everyone.
It's not a bad bet, though.
815, my bet is I won't win this bet, and 815, Rokan's head will explode before Trump is out of office. Oh, another texter says this. I bet Melania is begging the doctors to take something else out so she can stay a few more days.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Here we go. 219, if I can't bring a badger or something with tusks on the plane, how am I ever going to travel with my mother-in-law? Yada-da-da-da-da. Yada-da-da-da-da. One tweet from the president this morning. Trade negotiations are continuing with China. They've been making hundreds of billion dollars a year from the U.S. for many years. Stay tuned. Question is this deal that he made with China to do business with previously sanctioned ZTE, I think it's ZTE, the telephone company, that makes parts for phones like Qualcomm phones. They were sanctioned because our intelligence services say they are a serious and severe threat to American security. Mm-hmm. So did Trump make a deal to forge a trade deal with China? Or option two, China has invested $500 million in a Trump-owned property in Indonesia. That deal came up 3 days before he announced the phone deal.
Isn't that where he's meeting with Kim Jong-un, too? Isn't it in Indonesia?
No. They're meeting in Singapore.
Oh, that's right, Singapore.
But you can get there from here.
Yes.
It's that side of the world.
Asian countries, correct.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Hi, everybody on CLTV. And welcome back for hour number four of the program. You know, our regular feature, Guys That Can Sing at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll get to that in just a second, and we'll explain. In the meanwhile, texts continue to come in. We have an interesting mix of angry texters and delightful texters this morning. A lot of people still chiming in on this comfort animal thing. You know, our American Airlines said we're curbing the comfort creatures.
Right. No tusks, no certain reptiles.
847, Steve, does that include my comfort wombat? I was in a band called Comfort Wombats. Yeah, they were good. They were really good.
More easy listening.
And another texter says, I don't know what it is. I just have a feeling that Dave's buckthorn is exploding this morning.
Could be. Mm-hmm. Could be.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Can you bring a buckthorn on a plane?
You can, though it's not advisable. Gentlemen, introduce yourselves.
We're from the band Kevin Lee and the Kings. My name's Kevin Lee.
I'm Michael J. Kurtz.
Good to see both of you, and thanks for getting up and doing this, which is normally the middle of the night for you two.
Kind of. It was an interesting time to wake up and get here. Yeah.
If you pay attention, you know these guys, and you certainly know Kevin's name. Kevin has toured with just about everybody. He's been thrown out of some terrific bands.
Yeah.
And your new band is called?
Kevin Lee and the Kings.
And you've got an album coming out when?
Oh, it was just released.
Okay, we're out now.
Yeah, exactly.
I can down, you know, you can't go, you know, I'm 57 friggin' years old. I used to be able to go to a record store.
Oh, God, yeah.
You remember record stores?
Yeah, there's still a couple in the city.
You don't remember record stores.
No, I used to.
This is a place where you would go and buy pieces of vinyl
right?
at one point. Or you would go and you would get, at one point you'd get CDs. Mm-hmm. Now you got to download it.
Remember Musicland and Sam Goody, and you had to actually go and wait in line and buy concert tickets.
You know where all my music is now? Yeah. It's on my phone.
Yeah.
Musicland. I remember that.
How do you set the record
gear in those too?
Right. I know.
I remember being a kid and looking at the amps and the guitars.
Kevin, who got you into guitar?
Just watching bands on TV when I was a little kid, you know, 5, 6. I started, you know, they started showing, you know, rock and roll bands on TV, and from then I was just hooked my whole life.
Parents, you know, approve and encourage it? No, not at all. Get a real job?
Not at all. It was, yeah, my dad was a school principal, so he was kind of like, what are you doing?
You're never going to make a living doing this, son.
Yeah.
Right.
Where are you guys playing out soon?
We're playing a Toga Talent Agency show this Thursday. They're affiliated with Harley Davidson, and they do all these Harley events. Mm-hmm. So we're doing the Wildfire Harley out in Villa Park, and then we're playing the big Lurie's Hospital Autism event, or excuse me, not autism, Crohn's disease.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This Sunday out at Joe's Live.
Yeah, and
in Rosemont,
along with my lovely and talented daughter-in-law, Lauren, being a nurse at Lurie's. We know the great stuff that Lurie's does every day at the Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital. Chicago, the Crohn's disease benefit is, it's just a big deal. You guys know anybody with Crohn's? Crohn's is vicious.
Only one person, but yeah. Actually, it's actually the girl that this was in honor of.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, well, you got to sing. What are you going to sing for us?
We're going to do the title track off the new album, which is called Sticks and Stones.
All right.
And then,
Now, if you need me to jump in at any point, just give me the high sign.
Okay, all right.
That's not the high sign, Kevin. That's the don't jump in sign.
There you go.
You just jump in whenever you want.
All right, here you go. And by the way, every place you can download a record, I can get yours, right?
Yeah, it's on iTunes, Amazon, Apple Music, CD Baby. You can buy the album off our website. It's KevinLeeOnline.com.
And it's Kevin Lee and the King, Sticks and Stones.
Yep. Yes, that's the new one, yeah.
Or whenever you're ready, my friend.
All right.
Ready? Yep.
Two,
garbage on my street. You're spitting bullets, sweating acid rain. You got nothing good to say, a human ball and chain. No matter what you say is so, there's something you should know. Sticks and stones, sticks and stones, you can't break my bones with your sticks and stones. You're always angry. You made the choice. Your favorite thing in life's the sound your own voice. You're always talking, dragging me down. Tell me who you think you are, the only game in town. No matter what you say is so, there's something you should know. Sticks and stones, sticks and stones, you can't break my bones with your sticks and stones. I've been trying hard to find some common ground. It's a moment lost in time, nowhere to be found. Stones, sticks and stones, you can't break my bones with your sticks and stones. Sticks and stones, sticks and stones, you can't hold your own with your sticks and stones.
Again at 9:20 in the morning.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're never going to be our friend if we ask you to sing at this hour, are you? It's great to see you. How come Michael's the only one that got up? Is he your favorite?
Is he my favorite? That, you know, I have a real job in my other life, and I have to get up at 5 every day anyway.
Come on, what do you do?
I do audio-video stuff. You know, high-end, that kind
of show business.
A very glorified clapper.
Yeah, it's
a
glorified
clapper.
You know, the sticks.
Kind of sort of like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I get it.
You
I get
know,
it.
The shades go up, go down, turn the lights on and off, that kind of stuff.
Well, you guys have been doing this for a long time, and Kevin, you've been doing this forever. You still passionate about it every day?
Yeah, actually, it's and back to where you were asking me about when did you get the bug, it's never, ever changed. It's never gone away. You know, it's just... To this day, I can't wait to do it every time.
Who do you guys like now? I mean, who are some?
Yeah, you listen to the new stuff.
Like? Yeah,
new stuff. I kind of like Foo Fighters.
Oh, Foo Fighters,
yeah.
Great.
You know?
Yeah. The newer bands, I agree. Yeah. Yeah,
you know, I think they're one of the better ones, at least for me.
Mm-hmm. But I'm still like a big Cheap Trick, Tom Petty, like classic rock.
Yeah. Cheap Trick, I mean, everybody in Chicago, obviously. Yeah. But I firmly believe Cheap Trick is the most underrated band ever. Yeah. Ever.
Well, at least they got in the Hall of Fame. That was a
finally
good,
yeah.
nod in
right.
their direction.
But I think musicians have always gotten it. I think musicians have always gotten it. People in the industry have always gotten it. And I know they'd sell out in Japan, and they'd sell out all over the world. But we ought to be talking about Cheap Trick all the time.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're nice, just a bunch of nice goofballs from Rockford, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, they are.
So, where you guys are playing out again? Where?
This Thursday out in Villa Park at the Wildfire
Harley. And then the Lurie Benefit?
And then the Lurie Benefit on Sunday, yeah.
You do one more when we come back?
Sure.
All right. And again, just let me know when you want me to jump in.
Well, the next one you might know.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
You might know, yeah. You can do a part with us. We'll give you the cue.
Kevin.
Oh, nice.
Kevin, now I'm scared. Yeah. Kevin Lee and the King, Sticks and Stones. Get two copies. You're careless. You'll lose the first one. Texas says, Steve, thanks to you and Kevin Lee and the Kings for supporting Lurie Children's Hospital. My son is a thriving, happy seven-year-old because of the amazing people at Lurie Children's who saved his life. That should make you guys feel very, very good for all the good you're doing right there.
We feel good.
Kevin Lee and the King, Sticks and Stones is the album. Kevin, of all the bands you played with, what was the greatest thrill, the greatest singular thrill you ever had at one of these giant concert venues?
I'm always talking about this because when that question pops up, I played at the Auburn Hills Sports Arena outside of Detroit,
yeah,
opening up for REO, Speedwagon, and it was sold out. I think it was 26,000.
Yeah.
And we just killed it that night, and I'd say half the audience, not the whole audience, but half the audience gave us a standing ovation when we got done.
How about that?
And it was
opening
just,
acts don't get standing ovations.
Exactly. And, you know, and there were a few people in the front. You know, a lot of people don't want to like the opening act.
Sure.
You know, like guys sitting there refuse to like us. But, you know, if you looked at it, the whole thing, we got just such an amazing response, and it was such a moment, you know. So I'd say that was probably the biggest kick I've had playing a show so far.
I haven't seen Kevin Cronin in forever. But
no.
is he still a good guy, or is he trouble now?
No, he was. I toured opening up for them off and on for 2 years. We had the same management. And,
yeah.
No, all those guys are great because, you know, those big venues, they come in and they cook dinner for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's this big.
Living, baby.
Like Last Supper situation, you know what I mean? So, like, no, we'd all just hang out. They were cool. Nice guys. They're from Champaign, you know what
I
mean?
Oh, there you go.
They're just like Illinois people, like all of us.
The interesting analogy, the Last Supper.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, it's these big long tables.
Right, I go. I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do for us for one more song?
We're going to do an old Bowie tune. We're big Bowie fans.
Oh.
And you could sing along with us if you'd like.
Let's pretend I did.
There's a lot of places where
you can sing
on this one.
Yeah, you know what? I'll do it with the mic off for the sake of the audience. It's Kevin Lee and the Kings. And by the way, if you'd like to help at Lurie Children's, go to joesliverosemont.com/performance or ticketweb.com/event. You can at ticketweb.com, you can just search Lurie Children's or Kevin Lee and the Kings, and you'll get it all there. All right, guys, whenever you're ready, one more on 720 WGN and CLTV.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Woo-hoo! And back to Big O. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just fine and hope you are too.
What's your story for Friday? Will you be joining us?
I will be joining you. Gloria and I will be down and we'll spend the Walk of Fame activity with you and looking forward to it, really.
It'll be great to see you. And Roger Treemstra was on earlier today and we still have the license.
I'm glad to hear that because while he was with us, there was a lot of worry.
He is just as full of it as he's always been, and I only felt I had to dive for the dump button once. That's Inside Radio Talk for, oh my God, what's Roger going to say next? It'll be great to see him as well, and of course, Mary Vandeveld is being
congratulations
installed.
Mary.
Installed? It's installed.
Inducted.
The word.
Inducted.
Well, the plaque's got to be installed.
I don't think so. Not this time.
Yeah, they're going to be extalled, I think.
Is that what it's called when you remove them?
Before extalling? You get in, you're being extalled.
It'll be great to see a Big O. I'm so excited to see
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and you know, the one thing that I always mention, of all of the inductees into the Walk of Fame, I have worked with all but one, and that was Quinn Ryan, who left WGN shortly before I got there. But otherwise, I've worked with everybody on that list.
You are the crossroads. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Even Pierre Andre, he used to do a record show in the afternoon after the noon show. So.
Yeah, and at that point, he'd been at the station for 40 years or something, right?
Yeah, and the thing that fascinated me about Pierre, he couldn't read a clock. He had to have his producer sit next to him in the studio, so when a record was coming to an end, the producer would say, okay, Pierre, it's 10 minutes after 2.
He couldn't tell time, or he couldn't see it?
He couldn't tell time. He just couldn't read a clock.
What an odd affliction.
Yeah, true. Yeah, very much so. Because the first time I saw that, I said to the producer, what are you doing? And he told me.
I'm telling time. We have to wish a happy birthday, O, today in the world of business to Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook. He's 34 years old. Somebody did the math at CNBC. Mark Zuckerberg, based on his current net worth, has earned an average of $6 million a day for his entire life.
Well, I've come close to that, yeah, so I can understand.
That's true.
I'd like to know that feeling. You know, I know they say, oh, money can't buy happiness. For a day?
You'd be willing to lease it?
Yeah, for a day, I'd try it.
You'd lease happiness with an option to own?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Where are we with China, when it comes to the farms? Any change as we get into season?
No, still rather far apart on the trade issue, but I continue to be encouraged because the U.S. ambassador to China is Terry Branstad, who is a two-time governor of the state of Iowa and who had the president of China, the current president before becoming a president, but had the president of China on his farm in Iowa. They have a good relationship, and I have a lot of confidence that Terry can get things done. But right now, we're still fairly far apart. And there's a lot of concern about, well, they've cut their soybean purchases. But they do at this time of the year because soybeans from Brazil come onto the world market. And they tend to go where they can get the best deal. And this time of the year, it's probably Brazil. So not too concerned about that. But, yeah, we will have to get this thing hammered out.
What else is percolating in business today?
Well, as far as crop progress, that came out yesterday. It does every Monday afternoon. And I'm concerned about the wheat crop because only 36% of the winter wheat crop rated good to excellent compared to the five-year average at this time of 51%. Corn planting about on schedule, 62% planted as of Sunday. And soybeans, 35% planted. And that's a little bit above the 5 years progress. So that's what farmers are worried about. And, of course, flooding rains, always a scary thing, particularly when you put that expensive seed into the ground. And before it can germinate, it gets washed away. So that's, of course, weather is always a concern.
Lauren, I'm excited that the farmers markets, the local farmers markets, are going to be starting up. Most in the city are starting up later this month. I'm just curious, where do you think the best place to buy your produce is where it would last the longest? From a farmers market, from a big box store, or from a fruit specialty store like, say, a Jerry's or a Pete's?
I think from the farmer at the farmer's market, because what you see there has been harvested the morning of the farmer's market before they come in. We go to the farmer's market here in Huntley, and everybody that's there gets up a couple of hours early to pull carrots and to pull radishes and to cut lettuce and all of that. So it doesn't get any fresher than that.
Okay. And these farmers markets, they close before you know it. You know, you're going, what are you talking about, Steve? It's May.
Right.
You put it off, you put it off, you put it off. Next thing you know, you're in the last weekend.
Right.
And we're not just talking about the Mirai sweet corn. It's all the great stuff they have.
Yeah, that's true. But it's interesting, the evolution of farmers' markets. Here in Huntley, for example, they do hold farmers' markets until the end of December, I think, is when they shut it off. But in order to do that, you very often have to bring in produce from outside the area. So
now, you guys were out in Arizona for a while. You're back now. Did your mailbox explode while you were gone?
Gloria, I think we came back a week ago Monday, and I think Gloria just finished going through the mail yesterday.
About
poor
that,
Gloria.
Because the other thing we didn't get done, because all of the material was here, filing our income tax. So now we have to get caught up with that.
You know what that's called? A Cochran.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then I'm in good company.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Since I know the government's going to be getting money every year, why pay them early?
Yeah, that's true. I'm with you.
Until they decide they're going to spend it more efficiently. It's great talking to you. I can't wait to see you, and it's going to be a nice ceremony on Friday.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it a great deal.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's Big O. He'll be live with us on Friday. Is there some secret handshake you guys have?
I can't Walker say. Famers? I can't say. And I can't tell Mary either because she won't learn it till Friday.
Stu Bertrand, before you tell us what's coming up at 10, you have this travel company that you run.
Yeah.
Is there a secret island you all go to, all you Walk of Famers?
Ireland.
Oh, Ireland's
the
island. We all
go to Ireland, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh,
we don't have a handshake, but we do have a way of holding our hand.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, I don't. I don't see at all because I'm not in.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Bill and Wendy coming up. If you are headed for Great Britain for the royal wedding, a few pieces of advice to follow. I have all the etiquette you'd ever need here. If you forget your RSVP, don't even show up.
No.
Yeah.
No. And you can bring snacks. That's what Paul Coit said before.
Right. Outside, if you're just standing outside, do not bring snacks. I'm telling you right now. But if you forgot to RSVP, you are not invited. You're disinvited. Can you imagine that if you're invited to the royal wedding and you went, what am I forgetting? I feel like I should get back to somebody. It'll occur to me. Don't wear white, cream, or black as your primary color.
How come?
The Queen herself made a point of reminding guests in William and Kate's 2011 meeting that wearing cream or white is inappropriate. This must be left to the bride. And as far as the opposite side of the spectrum goes, black is considered a funeral color and not welcome at a wedding.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Watch the height of your heels.
Okay.
Don't wear huge heels. It's not practical, as well as it's not being appropriate. As you're walking into Westminster Abbey, the church floor is not a smooth floor, and they're not picking you up if you fall.
That's right, because people are buried, actually.
Yeah.
There's graves
in the walls
in the
and in the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bare legs, be careful. Bare legs have never flown in the royal family. That came to public light when Kate Middleton bought pantyhose and brought them back in a big way. So if you're lucky enough to be invited to the royal affair, don't be the object of hosiery shaming. It says wear tights.
Okay, now
what?
How
what
do if tights you, go with a wedding outfit?
Well,
what if it's hot?
Well, what if you're wearing a sundress? You're not supposed to wear tights or nylons with a sundress.
That looks
well, you wouldn't wear a sundress to a wedding, would you?
Well, yeah.
You
I mean, if it's
you
hot,
wear,
sure.
Like a floral type of thing, you know. And the thing about white, Andrea, isn't white like big now?
Yeah,
there
white is
so
really big
many
right now.
White
cream.
Dresses.
Hey, listen. Tell the Queen.
What? Tell the Queen.
She's got to get with it.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now. These aren't my rules. This is the Queen. Be careful with your hat. Your fascinator. Wearing the right hat is important. Not overdoing it is even more important. The day is not about you. The day is about the bride and the groom.
See, now I thought the day was kind of about the hat. You know, they do the fashions. I thought it was all about the hat.
Do you remember Beatrice and Eugenie when they wore those really bizarre
hats?
Yeah,
one of them had like a spirograph on her head.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a box.
It's like a treble note or something.
Showing shoulder is a no-no.
Really?
Yeah, no shoulders.
No cold shoulder dresses?
No shoulders.
That's bad. Those are big.
Keep your hands at your side, but not in your pockets. This is mostly a security issue.
Hands at
Bill
your
left
side.
Just walked in. He's showing shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
The Palace of Etiquette book is very thorough, and it says keep your hands at your side when standing. Keep your hands out of your pockets. Europeans consider that rude, and security will wonder what you're trying to get out of your pocket.
Geez, what can you do?
Arrive 1 hour early or you will not be welcome in the church. You may bring your cell phone. Don't plan on using it and don't even think about taking a picture.
I was just going to say, no picture, no video.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Uh-oh.
A couple of royal etiquette
too
rules for those
rules
of you going to the wedding.
For this thing.
Are you saying the Queen's not fun?
I mean, are they checking bags when you come in? I would assume they should.
You mean older people?
Like purses. They should check purses.
Oh, not older people.
No,
okay.
No.
No, whatever you bring in.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Yeah.
I take it bringing a backpack would not be a good idea.
Backpack at the
with
royal
your snacks.
A backpack and a fanny pack.
Yeah.
More in a moment, 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy are here. Oh, if we could only tell you what Dave Bennett said off the air.
No, that makes it sound so much worse.
I know.
It was sweet.
Thank you.
It is sweet. He was talking about how beautiful his wife is.
Yeah,
she is.
Yes, it was.
And her body. Yes, she is. That's exactly right. But he was also talking about
Andrea.
But he was also talking about what turns him on.
Yeah. No, that's not what I was talking about. You're making it much.
Hey, Karen, if you're listening, ask Dave about this break. Bill and Wendy are here. Hi.
Hello,
Steve.
So what happens on Friday? Do you start right at 10
yes.
for the Walk of Fame?
Why, mm-hmm. yes, we do.
Okay. And at what point will you transition to outdoors?
No, we're starting outdoors.
Oh, the whole thing's the down outside?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Yep. Roger Treemstra was
oh, my
today.
God, he was so funny
He's
today.
Yeah.
I would get him on and just leave him on.
All right.
Yeah, that's my advice. Anything? Anything for Bill and Wendy?
Love
anything?
You guys.
Anything? Anything?
Bill, love you. Love your show.
Love you.
Is Thanks, your voice I, back, Bill?
Not 100%, no.
He's sexy. Oh,
yeah, sexy voice.
You're today. A Sesame Street character.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're Froggy Bill.
It's the second biggest thing that turns Dave on, we just found out.
Stop okay. it now.
So that was not the way this sounds.
Now we got to know.
Yeah. He just likes the cold shoulder Steve's tops on his wife. That's it. That's all he said. Yeah. It was innocent and
I meant
beautiful.
It as a very as a compliment
so
to
you
my wife.
Say, but there's much more. Steve will lead with it at the 11 o'clock newscast. See you tomorrow.